Just Energy with naturopath and medical intuitive Dr. Rita Louise. We have learned from Einstein's theories that matter and energy are one. Physicists believe that all systems in nature have their own particular way of vibrating. From the swing of a pendulum to the waves in the ocean to the light that brightens the sky each day, each of these oscillates at its own unique rate. In the same way, things such as rocks and minerals vibrate very slowly and at speeds that are imperceptible to us. Living things such as plants, animals, and man vibrate faster and appear to be alive. The same holds true for every thought, feeling, event, or word we speak. Each has its own frequency or rate of vibration. What many of us don't realize is if we take everything in our own universe down to its simplest form, it is all just energy. Join Dr. Rita as she explores questions such as, what are we made of? Why do we get sick? How can I live a more balanced and whole life? Call in and talk to her and her thought-provoking guests. Send us your questions and get the help you need to move beyond any obstacles or challenges that may be affecting your life, right from the source. So stay tuned and explore your possibilities.
Hello and welcome to Just Energy Radio. I'm Dr. Rita Louise and thank you all for tuning in tonight. Isn't life just interesting how things just seem to be moving faster and faster no matter how slow we try to make them move? If we think something within a couple of days, what we've been thinking about actually has been manifesting into our lives. So if we're thinking happy, positive, and forward-moving thoughts, those things appear. And if we have negative or we're in a funky space, life seems to become funky around us. Just too fast. And so I just want to put that information out for everyone to think about. It's where are your emotions? Where are your thoughts? Where is your energy? Because if it's not in a good place, you might just be creating that in your life. I have a very important announcement I'm going to make today, and I'll be making it for the next few weeks. Just Energy Radio is going to be moving its time. I keep saying I need to have the date here, which I haven't. Starting July 24th, Just Energy Radio will be moving from its 7 to 9 p.m. time slot to 2 to 4 p.m. On Fridays. But you can still listen here live at justenergyradio.com. And so I'm hoping that this will make it more convenient and you can still have your Friday nights out. Yeah. So tonight we have, of course, yet another very special show. We're going to be talking about different topics. In the first hour, we'll be speaking with Russell Paul about spiritual teachings, uniting East and West. And in the second hour, we'll be speaking to Denise Coates about feelings and the law of attraction. So let me tell you a little bit about Russell, and let's bring him on so we can find out how we can unite East and West. Russell Paul trained as both a Christian monk and a yogi under the direction of B.D. Griffiths and is the author of Jesus in the Lotus and the Yoga of Sound. A faculty member at Wisdom University in San Francisco, he blends Indian and ceremonial music in his recordings and performances. He lives in Austin, Texas, and teaches throughout the world. So please welcome to Just Energy Radio.
Well, hi, Rita. Thanks for having me.
So, Russell, your background seems very interesting. You studied as a Christian monk, but did yoga at the same time, or studied as a yogi. How is that possible? And today's thought of religion and religious tradition, those two aren't often put next to each other.
That's true, and I think that it's a real major part of our healing, I think both for the East and for the West, for this coming together. For me, it happened because of my ancestry and trying to reconcile the two traditions that run in my own kind of lineage. And I came across, I was led, I'd say, by divine providence to this very unique place that was a Benedictine monastery, an official Benedictine monastery, affiliated with the Catholic Church. But then the way we expressed ourselves culturally and spiritually was entirely through the methodology and culture, spiritual culture of the East. And so we were able to bring the two together, and this facilitates enormous possibilities. And I think that those possibilities are really very much the healing for both the East and West, because each has solutions for the other's problems.
How do you feel that they can help each other, you know, as we learn and grow? How do you feel that they can be blended together so that we can each benefit from the teachings that they offer?
Sure. Well, let's take the two traditions that I kind of worked with. Of course, people may take two other traditions. I came from a Christian background, but with, you know, Hindu ancestry in it as well. And for me to seek to reconcile these two was very important for my healing. Now, the logic behind the approach is that over the past 2,000 years, the traditions have very much focused on certain things. Let's take Christianity. It's focused very much on the social dimension, on the prophetic dimension. Let's say the element of love is incredibly strong. Community is very, very strong. Justice is very strong. Caring for others is very strong. These are kind of hallmarks. And I'm talking here in a generalized way. In the same way, and what happens when you have an emphasis like that that predominates is other parts kind of recede into the background. So things like meditation and introspection, even the esoteric dimension, these things kind of get underplayed, and they're part, and they're kind of necessary for the healing and wholeness and well-being and vibrancy of people. Now, in the East, there's such a focus, it's an individual approach, it's very much an ascent. It's based on consciousness, on self-realization. And while these things are very powerful, and then there's, of course, deep insight into the workings of the mind, you know, elements such as community and the love aspect, you know, not that they're absent, but they get underplayed. So in other words, emphasis creates certain specialties. And when a tradition or a tradition focus on that for a long period of time, almost to the degree that other parts of who they could be and should be get underplayed, well, there comes this point in time where we are now, when we see great imbalances both in the East and in the West. And that is why, you know, they can learn from each other. And those of us who are kind of open enough at this particular juncture and can embrace more than one tradition at the same time, and I mean this authentically, then we have enormous possibilities, and in a sense we're getting to forge the prototype of the future, which is what I call the prototype of a world soul, someone who's more than one tradition, but in a way that's not superficial, but is seeking to manifest the deepest, the best in both.
And so do you think that is something that's even possible? I mean, it seems like there is so much animosity between religious groups right now. There's so much energy sitting in the holding of the dogma of the group that I truly honor the vision, but I'm just, you know, kind of looking at it from a realist point of view. I mean, I live in you live in Texas too. Oh, you live in Texas. You know how it is in Texas.
Absolutely.
Where there's just not a whole lot of room for bringing in other traditions that are not, I'm going to say, in the Bible.
Well, here's the point. That's the fact that there is so much of tension. That's what begs the necessity for it. The fact, you know, it's like saying, we are in such need of healing. So what do we do? Do we just stop exploring the possibilities of integrative medicine? No, we look, in fact, to increase those possibilities. And interspirituality is a bit like integrative medicine. It's seeking to blend the best of cultures and what they have to offer, because any one system doesn't have the answers to everything. And we live in such complex times. I don't think that we are in a position to have that isolated approach. Now, that doesn't play down the fact that, you know, there are strong opinions that people might have. And here's the point. If people are happy with their tradition, fine, stay within your own. But here's what has happened with Catholicism. A recent Pew survey found that almost 30% of Christians, Catholics particularly, have left the tradition of their birth in the United States. Now you have 30% of these people, of a very large, powerful tradition, who are kind of nowhere. They are disgruntled, disillusioned, they don't find the answers, they don't have a strong spiritual life to feed them, to support them. They're kind of in a nowhere place. And many of them have turned to the East, and some of them are finding powerful healing from it. But there is something about, you know, we don't have to throw out the baby with the bathwater. We have to also see what are some of the strengths of Christianity and not have reason to just throw it, you know, discard it altogether. Each tradition, because it has spent so much time specializing on certain things, and that's the point of my work. At least this particular book, it's saying that because traditions have spent so much time specializing, let's say, on their emphasis, whatever that is, that's what we can learn from them, from the other. And when we look at how troubled people are, how much they're in need of healing, how the mind, especially in Western culture, how the mind can be the source of a lot of stress and disease, we're realizing today, I mean, we've got about 18 million people who are in some form or the other practicing or embracing yoga techniques. So it's speaking to a huge number of people. But then we have all this antagonism, as you rightly say. For instance, there's antagonism from the yoga community towards Christians. That has to change. We don't have to kind of live in that sort of a mentality anymore, because as you yourself, you know, in your own work, rightly say, when we put out that kind of energy, that's what we attract in our lives. Now, why can't we be a culture that embodies harmony and attract that to our country here?
I totally agree. If you take religious beliefs and philosophical practices and really take them down to a base level, in my view, they really are all saying the same thing. And why we can't look at one piece and take that, and another one and take a piece. And I think that's really one of the things that has come out of like the New Age movement or the New Thought movement, is people look at all of these different traditions, whether they're philosophical traditions or religious traditions, and go, this piece works for me and this piece works for me. And okay, I hear this piece and I'm not 100% with it, but they don't poo-poo it. They don't poo-poo other people's beliefs.
Well, that's a good point. And I think what I'm trying to state in my book is to take it a step further than what was a very important breakthrough in the New Age. I think with the New Age came this freedom of saying, enough constriction, it's time to play. It's time to be able to embrace other tools from other traditions and not feel that we're being disloyal. And so the New Age movement started something very important, and we began to develop the building blocks and the vocabulary, the spiritual vocabulary of a new millennium. Now, I think is the time to go slightly deeper, because, you know, conventional religious people reacted against the New Age saying, oh, this is cherry-picking dilettante stuff. You know, people are not really committed or going deep. They're just sort of skimming the surface and not really taking on the challenges of what strong conventional religion provides. They just want to play around and have a lot of fun. So I think there's something in that that we have to take a little bit seriously if we're to take the New Age into a more mature form. And so, as you rightly say, we have to look at the commonalities between tradition, and that is very important. And, you know, an interfaith dialogue, for instance, has looked at that very deeply over the last 20 years. But we have to also move beyond that. And what I'm trying to make a point of is, While it's important to see that every tradition is perhaps saying the same thing, it's also important to see that there are certain traditions that say the same thing better and more eloquently, more poetically, in much more depth, much more interestingly, perhaps has mapped it out. For instance, the East has mapped out consciousness far more extensively than the West has ever done. We're actually using that as our model, like Ken Wilber, for instance, to develop our own transpersonal systems today. At the same time, we also have to realize that some traditions don't say enough about certain things. Like take the East, maybe it doesn't say enough about love. It might exemplify it and have it. But that teaching about caring for a neighbor and so on, which Christianity in a way really represents, although not all Christians may live that, it's something that presents itself as a kind of challenge, not because it's absent in the East, but it's not said enough or not pushed enough or not made enough of. And that's the point I'm raising, that we have to learn from the similarities, but we also have to learn from the challenges that come from other traditions perhaps putting emphasis on certain things. And the problem arises when we say, well, we have that in our tradition too, but how much? How much are the masses affected? How much is the consciousness of our species affected because of that? And that's where the real challenge arises, when traditions have to look at each other and say, okay, maybe there is something what is said in our tradition is said better or said differently, and sometimes we have to look at it with new eyes to discover it or rediscover it in our own. What do you say to that?
I think that it's totally true. In your opinion, why do you think people end up having so much heartburn about other traditions? I mean, even if you sit there and take current conflict, there is an email that went around. You know, this is probably totally politically incorrect, but I'm going to put it out there. When the war in the Middle East, in Iraq started, about all the jihad stuff, and there were emails that were going around saying that, you know, all the fundamentalist Christians should go fight with all the Taliban and they can have like a little religious war, because they're all kind of stuck on their dogma. And why do they get so stuck? Why do you think is the mentality that doesn't allow them to take their blinders off to even think of the possibility that there might be something else that would be helpful or beneficial to them?
That's good. How do I address you, by the way? Should I call you Dr. Rita or Rita? Rita, how would you like to be addressed?
You can call me Rita. That's fine.
Okay. See, the thing, Rita, is that that's exactly where we need to evolve. And I think what is happening, what we're seeing today, is that we're not looking at something that is just developed. We're talking about a 2,000-year-old mentality that's been formulated over time, okay? Hundreds of years have gone into formulating an identity that we call conventionally Christian, at least, or conventionally Hindu, and so on. And that is giving way at the turn of the millennium. In fact, at the turn of every millennium comes this kind of restructuring of consciousness, when we get restructured into a higher order of being. Now, that's happening in a big way also because of the way the Internet works today. We have far more exposure to how this restructuring is taking place. It's pretty tumultuous. And when that level of change and upheaval is taking place, what we're seeing happening outside in the world is really what is happening within us, a lot of us. And in a way, our old mentalities, this energy, this force of evolution is pushing against our old mentalities, really forcing us to think differently, feel differently. Everything that's coming out with the law of attraction, with a lot of the new healing, with vibrational medicine, with intuitive healing as you are doing, this is all part of this new movement. And of course, wouldn't you be facing resistance as well from the medical community for what you are doing? That is precisely what we're seeing in many areas, but here's the difference. Today we live in a world where, you know, we don't get burned at the stake for something like that. There's a far more cultured, understanding and ability to be able to accept the possibilities of differences, and that, I think, is a tremendous hope for the future. Now, in terms of that email, I've not seen the email, but you know, we would like the, let's say, a more limited, restricted viewpoints, either within ourselves or within society, just vanish at the snap of a button. But we have to remember that these mentalities have been formulated over many years. In this case, we're talking hundreds of years. And so the change is not so easy, but the change is happening. It's not a question of choice. The choice is whether we are part of the change or how much we resist the change. And for those who find the change difficult and resist it, it becomes more cataclysmic in a way. And so we have this complex mixture of people at all these different levels and structuring who are going through and who are part of the change. But like it or not, we are in this together, and we are definitely moving to a new place. And it's coming, and it's happening at a certain price, of course. I mean, any time in evolution, there's always been, a certain amount of any kind of growth, you know, requires a certain amount of damage in a way to our being. But we have to trust in the healing and restorative powers of nature and within ourselves, that whatever happens, it is moving us to a higher level of being. And that is my hope. It's my indisputable hope that we are part of a huge and complex but benign and highly intelligent matrix. And that is transforming us all. We're all playing a role in it. And despite the fact that there's, maybe surgical procedures that are happening on us at this time, it's a part of our healing and part of our growth. And we just have to go through it. We can't go around it. Does that
make
sense?
Do you follow much of the 2012 stuff? Because I've heard verbiage very similar around when we hit December of 2012, that it is going to be a time of transformation and of spiritual openness. And right now we're working through the last part of our resistance. So do you think that what you're sharing has any correlation to the 2012? Do you think that that's why it's coming more to the surface at this point in time? Or are your observations based just on your observations, if that makes sense?
In a sense, it ties in. For me, the point 2012 is, it's a good guesstimate. It might actually happen. I mean, we might not all actually see or feel something definite. Maybe highly sensitive people such as yourself might. But the whole point is there's absolutely no doubt that we are at a critical point of transformation. There's a kind of cusp period we all experience in our life when, we're on the verge of a great movement, a great shift that is happening within us. And so I have no doubt that it's already happened. And what we're seeing is an explication of what has already happened. Whether or not that crystallizes into some laser-like focus on 2012, for me, it doesn't matter because it's already happened.
Cool. Russell, we need to take a quick break. I'm
sure.
Dr. Rita Luigi. We're talking to Russell Paul about his book, Jesus and the Lotus, and we will be back after the word from our sponsor.
Just Energy Radio with your host, Dr. Rita Luigi, will return right after these messages.
Sensitive to energy? Want to explore the world beyond the five senses? Looking for a new career as an alternative healthcare practitioner? Then the Institute of Applied Energetics, Medical Intuition, and Energy Medicine Training Programs may be right for you. Our comprehensive curriculum provides students with a deep understanding of how to detect, evaluate, and transform the subtle body, as well as techniques for correcting energetic imbalances that may underscore a person's ability to experience radiant health. So if you are sensitive to energy, contact the Institute of Applied Energetics right away. Be a catalyst for changing the way healthcare is done around the world. Visit www.appliedenergeticsinstitute.com and start your new career today. Hey, it's Dr. Rita Louise. Don't forget to sign up for our free online newsletter at justenergyradio.com. It'll keep you informed of who's coming on the show each week. And don't forget, explore your possibilities every Friday night. Don't miss a single episode of Just Energy Radio. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Are you feeling stuck and unsure which way to turn on your path? Do you lack focus and direction in life? Do you feel something is missing? So what do you want? A better job, your dream home, more money, your ideal mate? Decora has practical tools to assist you. Schedule a session today to get clear about what you truly desire to deliberately create the life you want. For more information, visit ManifestingConsultant.com or call toll-free 1-800-813-3877.
Go deep inside yourself and venture into the realm of the unconscious mind with my Meditating on the Kabbalah guided imagery audio CDs. Discover who you are and what you want in life. Meditating on the Kabbalah can help you to open, clear, and revitalize the energetic pathways of your subtle being. They will support you in your spiritual quest by helping you to access the profound insights and inner guidance you need as you work in alignment with your highest good. Let them help you to release negative thoughts and emotions and clear away any limitations that may be keeping you from experiencing your full potential. Walk down the path to health, healing, understanding, and enlightenment with Meditating on the Kabbalah. Order your copy today at www.soulhealer.com. That's right, that's www.soulhealer.com.
And now back to Just Energy Radio with Dr. Rita Louise.
Dr. Rita Louise and I, my name is Russell Paul, we're discussing my book, Jesus and the Lotus, The Mystical Doorway Within Christianity and Yogic Spirituality. And we're discussing the value of bringing together viewpoints from the East and from the West, and the urgency, in a sense, of that in our time today, the value and the necessity of doing something like that. And the theme I'm bringing... Is she back? The theme, okay, let me know when she comes on. The theme that that I'm presenting in this book is the theme of interspirituality, which is sort of like the, let's say the spiritual equivalent of what we would call integrative medicine. It's understanding that traditions can work together and having a sense of more than one tradition, not in some superficial way, but in a deep way. Embodying more than one tradition in a way that complements, the two complement one another, it might be also the way of the future, where we begin to realize that perhaps one tradition in itself may not have the answers to all our problems or all the circumstances that we need help with, and it looks at the possibilities that come from other traditions as a result of that. Of that lack in some sense, or lack of emphasis perhaps. And then to also look that traditions, because of their emphasis over a 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 year period, have developed some very powerful tools. And those are the tools that are most valuable because they're time tested over a fairly extensive period of time. So when we look at the yoga tradition now, we see an incredible understanding of consciousness. An ability to be able to tap these deep levels of consciousness. And that is for our healing, of course. And the reason why religion and spirituality is playing such an important role for us today is because we cannot separate healing from enlightenment. We cannot separate healing from enlightenment. They're two sides of the same coin. And so we have to find... We come to it in different ways. For instance, spiritual traditions look at spiritual practices and therefore have to engage in healing. One cannot become enlightened without healing oneself and being part of the healing of oneself and others. And if one engages in healing in whatever way, as a healer, conscious healer, as a medical intuitive, as a massage practitioner, whatever kind of healing, in some way or form or the other, one is also engaging in the process of enlightenment, because there is a knowledge, the light of knowledge that is part of it and the transformation that comes from it. And so we're beginning to realize that these two come together, healing and enlightenment. And this puts us in a very unique position to look at how healing and enlightenment can complement each other as we look at other at traditions. And in this book, I present that process through my own path, coming from a Christian background with Hindu ancestry and learning to take the best from these two cultures and embody them in an authentic way by studying the two very deeply and living the two as deeply as I can.
You're on a good roll, so I just didn't want to start. One of the other pieces that you haven't discussed in this whole thing is I feel like each of the different spiritual traditions brings a different piece of history, a different piece of who we are as beings on this planet to the forefront and to the table. So when you talk about the yoga tradition, it really focuses on energy and energy movement, or especially when you get more into the chakra systems and stuff like that, and about meditation and about balancing our energy and balancing the body and grounding the body and dealing on that level. When you get into some of the Asian traditions, you get into the acupuncture. When you get into Judaism, there is a lot of information about what you're supposed to do. They have a lot of rules. How's that? They have a lot of rules. But when you get into Christianity, the message is all about love. And if you take their strengths of each of the traditions and you all together, you can't help but make a more, say, glorified person.
Absolutely. And, you know, are you? Hello?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know if you'd finished or were you going to continue?
I'm still here. Oh, I got hung up on you.
Who's that? Yeah, we're connected. I'm hearing her very well.
It's Dr. Rita. I said I was making a little commentary. Okay, now I'm just confused. Who's talking to you or not talking to you?
I hear you breaking up, Dr. Reeder. I'm here, but I hear you breaking up on the line.
What I said was, if you look at a basic tradition for the different religious systems, philosophical systems, and you take different elements, you know, the idea of things that we do spiritual and beings, the idea of love, the idea of health and healing from each of these traditions and blend them together, you can only become unified from them. You know, so maybe that's why each one has its own piece, as opposed to, which forces us have to join together to become one, as opposed to this separate part from that separate part from that separate part.
Well, in my book, I quote Rabbi Gilberman, who's a New York rabbi. I don't know if you know his work. He's in his 90s. Extraordinary man who, you know, he does a yogic exercise called Kabbalah in Motion, where he draws from the yoga tradition and applies it to Kabbalistic practice. And he said this beautiful statement, and he said it many times, and he's done it publicly too. He says that something to the equivalent of no tradition by itself, God deliberately didn't give the entire revelation to any tradition, so that it was the only way that the divine could get everybody to work together. And he uses the analogy of a menorah, you know, of all the different, like the different traditions being, you know, each part coming out, but they all depend on the base, which is God itself, the divine itself, the source itself. And my mentor, Pete Griffiths, did the same thing. He would speak of, you know, all the fingers of the hand being like the major traditions, but they all meet in the palm, and without the palm, you know, the fingers really don't function well. When we forget the palm sometimes. And traditions had to, in a way, develop their specialties, develop their unique identities over a 2,000-year period, which is what, in some sense, you know, we would call the Age of Pisces. That's the last 2,000 years. And a famous, not famous, but a monk at an abbot at a monastery in Italy in the Middle Ages called it moving from the age of the Father to the age of the Son to the age of the Spirit. And the age of the Spirit is like the Aquarian period that we are now entering, where the religions, in a way, have to compromise a little bit of their isolated identities and allow themselves to become a little bit more fluid so that we can forge a prototype that is far more powerful than any one of them individually. And people are beginning to do that. For instance, for several years now, or maybe the last 10, 15 years, there are people who live this hybrid. Some call themselves Boo Jews, like Buddhist Jews. Others have other kind of, you know, terminologies to describe their deep passion for bringing together more than one tradition. So you're absolutely right about traditions having specialties and coming together. And in my case, you know, I took these two traditions, but of course I can learn from others. I can learn from Judaism. I can bring that into my life. I can certainly open to the Native American tradition. I can look to the deepest in Islam, which comes from the Sufi traditions, who have already done that. You know, the Sufi tradition within Islam has already taken the world's traditions and taken the best from it. And they're kind of like a model in themselves. The unity movement is kind of a step in that direction. The Baha'is are a step in that direction. So there are people who've done it and exemplified it in their ideology. But I think where we're moving is we're probably looking at some very large numbers of people now who are ready to embrace being more than one tradition. And many of these people have kind of lost their connection to the tradition of their birth. And as I said earlier, we're talking some really large numbers. And many of the people who've embraced yoga, for instance, in America, in the U.S., most of them come from either Jewish or Christian backgrounds. And it's not that they're lacking any sense of connection. In fact, the Jewish people have an awesome connection to the divine, an awesome passion. I mean, it's overwhelming, the amount of connectedness and passion and love that they have for the divine historically and personally and through all kinds of situations. And so people bring that. I think Christians are bringing their love element into the yoga, and Jews are bringing this passion for the divine and the commitment to doing things very meticulously for the divine, out of love for the divine and out of wanting to be in relationship with the divine. They bring that to the yoga practice. And that is forming a very unique kind of yoga in a way. American yoga in that way has all this extraordinary passion that comes from these other traditions already built into it. All we have to do now is look at it from the other side, where the yoga community can also realize that it is within the Christian community. I mean, this is a predominantly Christian nation. How can the yoga tradition now turn itself and begin to also look at Christianity, maybe the deepest aspects of Judaism, like the Kabbalistic tradition, and say, how can we integrate, how can we speak yoga to these traditions? You know, how can we open up to these traditions? Because that's going to be part of the healing. You know, yoga has not needed to do that. In the beginning, when it came out, when it started to develop here in the States, there was a lot of resistance from religion and also from the medical community. Now that yoga has gained such prominence, it should be careful not to kind of take an antagonistic stand to either. It won't do that to the medical establishment, but to organized religion. And it should see how it can serve, in fact. So that's the purpose of my book. I'm trying to open up a dialogue where people from the yoga community can start to sort of soften in their attitude to Christianity and vice versa. Christians can soften in their attitude towards yoga and look beyond the exercise into the depth of consciousness that comes through it.
Well, I have had people say to me, yoga, that's devil work. And if you just even take out any of the religious part and just look at it from a vehicle for relaxing and stretching and working with the physical body, I just kind of roll my eyes. I don't even know what to say to those people.
Just Energy Radio with your host, Dr. Rita Louise, will return right after these messages.
And discover alternative solutions to your deepest concerns at soulhealer.com. So whether it's a physical problem, an emotional issue, a question about work, or troubles in your relationship, naturopath and medical intuitive Dr. Rita Louise can help you bring peace, harmony, and health back into your life. Schedule a session today. Visit soulhealer.com right away and live the life you've been dreaming of.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rita Louise, the host of Just Energy Radio and the founder of the Institute of Applied Energetics. Start a new career today on the leading edge of alternative health and healing. The Institute of Applied Energetics can help you develop the specialized skills you need to work as an energy medicine practitioner, intuitive counselor, or professional medical intuitive. Besides our outstanding technical instruction, our programs also support you in creating and building a successful business in this rapidly growing field. Be a catalyst for changing the way healthcare is done around the world. Contact the Institute of Applied Energetics right away or visit AppliedEnergeticsInstitute.com. You can get a copy of Dr. Rita's latest book, Avoiding the Cosmic 2x4, by visiting www.soulhealer.com. Get your copy today.
Just Energy Radio wants to help you grow your business. Just Energy Radio has a growing global audience which can provide you with an unequaled opportunity to educate thousands of people about the products and services you have to offer. Through our targeted market, your ad is more likely to connect with like-minded individuals who will respond to your message. In addition, our archiving feature will allow your ad to be heard over and over again. Join the internet marketing revolution and take advantage of our low introductory prices. Visit JustEnergyRadio.com for more information.
The crossroads in your life and discover alternative solutions to your deepest concerns at soulhealer.com. So whether it's a physical problem, an emotional issue, a question about work, or troubles in your relationship, naturopath and medical intuitive Dr. Rita Louise can help you bring peace, harmony, and health back into your life. Schedule a session today. Visit soulhealer.com right away and live the life you've been dreaming of.
And now back to Just Energy Radio with Dr. Rita Louise.
Hello and welcome back to Just Energy Radio. I'm Dr. Rita Louise and we're here talking with Russell Paul about his book, Jesus, Jesus in the Lotus. I'm like, well, we're kind of talking if we can stay connected for more than a second or two at a time. One of the things that I've always had a question about, you know, especially when talking about yoga, is I guess there's a part of me that doesn't understand how by moving the body it can actually create a stronger connection to God, to help us cleave to God. I can understand through meditation and reflective practices that I can totally wrap my mind around. And other than working with keeping our energy moving, keeping the chakras clear and open, is that the primary function of doing yoga postures and the yoga poses?
a good question. Actually, yoga is not about movement as much as it is about stillness. In fact, the word asana, which is the name for all of the postures, means seat, S-E-A-T. And so yoga, traditionally, as it was kind of perceived a couple of thousand years ago, is really about learning to control all of the flux that is going on inside, especially generated in the mind. The technical term is vritti. Yoga citta vritti nirodha. It means yoga is to be able to control the flux. And why control the flux? Because there's a vision that is born of that control. We see into the very depths of our being, and in that vision is capacity for healing, energy, power, depth, all of that. It's kind of like a divine vision, if you like. And that's really what yoga is about. And the postures, the yogis realize that the body really has a direct connection to the mind. Still the body, you still the mind. Control the body, you control the mind. And so they apply these postures as a way of being able to control the mind and be able to have this vision, this unobstructed vision, because a restless body creates a restless mind. And so they learned these ways of being able to hold the body steady so that there was a depth of vision. And from this vision comes all of the information that we learn, all the side information, the chakras, so on and so forth. As I was saying earlier, you cannot separate healing from spirituality. If you approach spirituality, healing is absolutely a necessity that becomes part of the process. And if you approach healing, then spirituality has to be a part of that process. One way or the other, we're still involving the other, kind of like a yin-yang. So does that make sense?
That's
actually all of the movement. And the movement is also a harmonious kind of movement, because breath, harmonious movement that brings the breath into play is actually helping the mind clear itself up, harmonize itself. And so all of the movement in yoga, the kriyas in yoga, are about facilitating harmony, and the harmony facilitates balance, and the balance facilitates vision.
And I guess that's why you feel so relaxed when you're done doing some yoga, is because you've realigned yourself internally.
Absolutely. And see, the thing is, it's a very ingenious method, because it starts with the physical. You know, it starts with the physical, but that's the starting point. And as people get deeper into yoga over the years, they start getting into the mental aspect of it. And many, many hundreds of thousands of people in this country have already achieved great depth and adeptness into this mental side of yoga. And today, see, American yoga has reached that point where it's able to teach that deeper side beyond the physical. I mean, it doesn't omit the physical, but the physical leads into it. And so many people are benefiting from yoga because they don't realize the mental benefits until a little later. They catch on, wow, this is just not physical. And then that gets them curious into the other side.
And I think people are becoming more, once they can let down their guard, they are becoming more and more curious. And, you know, that door opens and they find that there's this whole huge world out there.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, let's, if you don't mind, I want to say, make a few connections. Like, for instance, you know, in Christianity, like in Judaism, we have this powerful statement that comes to us in Genesis. It says, you know, God created us in its own image. We're made in the image and likeness of God, or we're made in the divine image. But one thing we don't learn, at least I didn't learn this in Christianity, is how do we access that image? How do we become aware of that image within us? And yoga is a brilliant methodology that does precisely that. It actually uses a systematic approach to be able to get still enough. And that's another phrase from the Bible, you know, be still and know that I am God. To have this vision, this is a divine vision, but it's a vision also of ourself in a way, the divinity within us. It shows us how to do that. the practical method. It's not believing that we're made in the image. It says you can access it. You can see yourself in that image. You can become aware of that image. And so that is one of the many ways in which these traditions can complement each other. And it doesn't have to hurt anybody's faith. Yoga doesn't expect people to give up their belief structure, whatever that is. Jesus, for instance, doesn't have to be given up. But it's something that can be added. You know, yoga adds something to a Christian's life. And I think in the same way, some of the key teachings that come through the Christian tradition can add something to a yogi's life. And I'm not talking here about the institution, but the powerful, you know, there has to be something powerful. I've asked myself this many times. There has to be something powerful about Christianity for it to have survived 2,000 years, and not just survived, but grown into the world's largest religion. I mean, it can't be just founded on a lie. I'm not a diehard Christian, but I'm looking for the value in traditions. And to ask ourselves, what is it that is powerful that is feeding this 1.5 billion people? Even out of curiosity, if the non-Christian or the yogi makes that something to seek, what could it be that is behind this tradition that is animating so many people? I think that would lead to a benefit for somebody who's on the outside. And we have to see beyond the Inquisition, beyond the Crusades, into this depth and find out what that is. Otherwise, I think, is in a sense, we miss out on something. Anytime we turn our back to something very powerful, we're also missing out. And Christians who turn their back on yoga are missing out on the possibilities that it can offer.
And it's great exercise.
It's extraordinary. Extraordinary. Yeah, absolutely.
So we only have a couple of seconds left, and I wanted you to be able to give out your webpage and stuff, but if there is one thing that people can do to take this next step, we ran out of time. Russell, what's your webpage? Where can they get your book?
The book is available nationwide. My website is russellpaul.com. It's spelled RussellPaul, russellpaul.com, and it's available on my website as well. And if people get 3 books, they get a 5-month course to go with it, free.
Wonderful. Russell, I'm so sorry about the phone thing. We'll have to have you back. We need to go to break.
Energy Russell Radio Paul. With your host, Dr. Rita Louise, will return right after these messages.